Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay. Here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
The Bear defense has become very well known. But just in case you don't know him, Hampton, McMichael, Perry, and Dent start up front.
Steve McMichael is one of those tough guys, you know, that plays that middle in there with those guys, takes on guys, does stuff in the trenches, fighter, scrapper.
Better known in the locker room as Mongo.
Mongo! Santa Maria!
My nickname in college was Bam Bam, and it's not because I would club you on the field, it's because I bounced in a strip joint with a baseball bat.
Second and eight, Kramer's back again. This time, Kramer will not get away from McMichael. Kramer's down, sacked by McMichael. They've been pressuring almost every play.
So there we go, Steve McMichael says he's number one.
Let us know where the cameras are.
Yeah.
And Dickerson is hit behind the line of scrimmage by Steve McMichael, and the Rams will have to punt. Snow continues, and the crowd continues to yell. They'll play either Miami or New England, but whoever they play is going to have their hands full.
After Buddy said, "You'll always be my heroes," and walked out, Steve McMichael got up immediately and got the chair and threw it through the blackboard.
Nobody on the face of this earth that's ever played football was going to do a damn thing against us that day.
Eason dragged down by Steve McMichael, fumbles, the Bears have it. McMichael was the one who made the hit and forced the fumble.
There's the celebration by Dan Hampton.
That defense would have never, ever been anything like it was without the contributions of Steve McMichael.
Walter Payton, Mike Ditka, hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans.
Steve McMichael, the newest member of the WCW, a real renegade in his own right, one of the hardest hitters ever in the NFL, now part of Monday Night Raw.
Steve Mongo McMichael.
But let me tell you one thing. Jeff Jarrett, you better believe he quit. He saw the look in my eye. That man ran scared.
Mongo is okay, and he's starting to come back here. He's got a sleeper on his own arm.
There you go. Reverse it right there. Jumped on it.
He covers.
He's got it.
One,
he got him.
Two, three.
Yes. Yes. A new United States champion.
Just an incredible human being that came into our business and brought so much life, humor, love, respect.
The fans still booing the home plate umpire, Angel Hernandez.
And rightfully so.
Hey, Steve, have fun singing.
I will.
And don't worry, I'll have some speaks with that home plate umpire after the game.
At practice, I played against some of the best defensive players of all time. Steve McMichael, who I believe should be in the Hall of Fame.
Steve McMichael was a force of nature, but the only thing bigger than his personality was his heart.
I'm just thrilled that we're going to get to present him with his Boston jacket at home, and I can't wait.
I'm honored and privileged to present Steve McMichael for enshrinement in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And as much as Steve inspired me as a young football player, and as much as he helped me develop, he's inspired me equally as much since the first time I saw him and found out he had ALS.
You know what's best in the human condition, my son? Compassion. Not warrior, not competitor, not alpha. The compassion in the human being. What's going on in the world today, you kind of lose faith in that, don't you?
A little bit.
But everybody that comes into my presence, now that I'm in this condition, that's the first thing I see on their face. Man, and it reinvigorates your belief in humanity.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, an outstanding tribute done by our Chris Tannehill for Steve Mongo McMichael. We are going to talk with some people who knew him really, really well. Tanny is here with the Great Open. Shane put together an outstanding show today. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello, man. That open got me emotional a little bit.
As it should.
That's one of the most remarkable lives in Chicago sports history. When you think about the whole thing, an incredible player worthy of the Hall of Fame, and his post-playing career as a character in Chicago culture, as a media presence, and just as an entertainer and a beloved elder for his 60s, and then the way he went out with the class and the grace to fight his disease the way that he did, it's just, it really is. It's one of the most remarkable lives in the history of Chicago sports.
You're an 85 Bear and a 4 Horseman. Like, having those two things on your resume is pretty good. And then you also have all of the crazy stuff that he and Gene Greco would do, like stuff where you're watching them on TV and you're like, I didn't know
they were allowed to do that.
I can't believe that we're getting away with this as viewers.
And eventually, we were not.
Yeah.
And they were not. Yeah. And Steve was sent on his way.
There's
no everybody,
doubt.
Welcome again to Sports Sunday. Yours truly and Porky.
Mark, have you ever seen the movie Deliverance?
You've got a pretty mouth.
I was uncomfortable multiple times.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that's the way that it should be.
That's the way that it should be, I think. And then
the Angel Hernandez stuff.
He's still the only man ever thrown out of a ball game for the seventh inning stretch.
Well, he said that like people came up to him in the press box and they're like, hey, you got to leave. And he's like, what?
Don't we think the Northwestern volleyball team should have been thrown out for it?
Or,
that's how bad it was.
Or DePaul Hoops. Yeah. Or DePaul Hoops.
Wow. Yeah.
Was it Northwestern or was it Loyola? I don't know. Throw them all out.
Was it Loyola?
I don't know. It might have been Loyola.
Wow. Danny?
For the purposes of the joke, I think it was Northwestern.
You really nailed it there. It really landed.
My Ramblers would never do something atrocious like that.
No, you guys wouldn't do that.
Right, or Ditka. Ditka maybe getting thrown out for his speedy and terrible. Or Matt Nagy, who cursed. Right? I guess it wasn't a curse word, but it was pretty mild.
No, he just said penis.
That's what I mean. It's not close. But yeah, no, Mongo, the only guy ever to get thrown out for his stretch. What a life.
We are going to have a lot of people on to talk about Mongo today. I imagine that Matt Bowen has memories as a child of Mongo. So we'll talk with him about it. Dan Pompey is going to join us in about 10 minutes. I'm very much looking forward to talking with him and Jarrett Payton at 3:00. But before we get back into the tribute, this thing that's happening over at Wrigley Field has been pretty cool. And this thing that's happening with PCA, who is now up to number 3 in F war in Major League Baseball after last night's game.
That's the Fangraphs version of wins above replacement. I think it values defense a touch too much. It's my own personal view.
We can look up B war if you want.
Well, no, I think it's a great shorthand. War is the best shorthand we have come up with as a baseball populace to think about somebody's overall value. So
you finally figured out what it's good for.
Yeah, exactly. Edwin Starr, you know, they asked me the question.
And now you have the answer.
Finally, we have the answer.
It's a good thing, but watching what he's doing, watching this Cubs offense has been fun, Speaks.
So how about this? There are 3 players right now in Major League Baseball with 5 homers and 10 steals. Ellie De La Cruz, O'Neill Cruz, and Pete Crow Armstrong.
And Pete Cruz Armstrong.
So, yeah, just give him the Cruz.
He's part Tom of the family Cruz. Now.
I mean, but those two guys are the, like, speed, power combo marvels discussed in hallowed terms from their very moments of debuting in MLB. Like, oh boy, here's Ellie, or oh boy, here's O'Neill. And now Pete joins them. And then I saw this one last night. 5 homers, 10 steals, 15 extra base hits. Pete Crow Armstrong is the first player in the history of baseball to reach those marks before the end of April. It's April 24th. So he's showing this kind of combo platter speed and power thing, and he's a far better defensive center fielder. O'Neill Cruz is the worst center fielder in baseball by defensive runs saved. Pete is among the very, very best. So it's quite a moment here for Pete Crow Armstrong. And you got a thing now. Remember those years when, like, man, Acuna and Freddie Freeman might steal MVP votes from each other? Pete Crow Armstrong and Kyle Tucker at this pace will steal MVP votes from each other.
Clearly, you can read a calendar. You know that it's April, so you don't want to get too crazy.
Oh,
but
man, it's hard not to.
And I'm not saying that to you specifically,
oh, no,
Speaks.
You can't. You can say it to me.
Because people were mad that we were reading off the F war yesterday. I saw that in the comments. Guys, quit putting them in the Hall of Fame. No, but this is what it is. And if he's already been this valuable, that's a good thing. Hopefully, it continues. Here are the older school numbers, if you're interested. Pete Crow Armstrong over the last 30 games, so this season, 294, 339, 549 over the last 15.
Yeah, there we go.
373, 393, 763.
It's like he was listening to the show when you told him to stop bunting.
Swing the bat, Pete.
Or my theory.
Oh, here we go.
That weekend, I'm serious, that weekend in Los Angeles, the parents, all his high school buddies.
The good vibes brought him back.
The calm. Something in him relaxed. And that dude was out in front of heat that weekend immediately. So, and I think there's actually some validity to that, which we can get back to, and we've got a long season to discuss.
The last seven games, 393, 414, 857.
Preposterous.
It's really great. It's a great thing to have for the Cubs to be playing like this offensively and for Pete to be doing well. They need to really clean up their defense, but we'll get to that later on in the show. If you have not read Dan Pompey's piece in The Athletic, you should bookmark it and save it for a moment of quiet reflection. He is going to join us to talk about Steve McMichael. You do not want to miss this conversation. It's next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Former 1985 Chicago Bear kicker Kevin Butler.
You know, we've seen a lot of highlights of him playing football and the incredible way he played football and incredible plays he made. You know, I just want them to remember that he was a friend. He's a father. He's a husband. There's a void in his family now that may never be filled. And support from everybody around Chicago and Texas and everywhere that Steve touched, you know, just give support and remember that there's a person with a bigger life behind you, kind of behind the scenes that you really don't see. And Steve touched so many people in so many ways, including me and my family, off of the football field. And I think that's what I hope people remember about Steve.
Beautiful tribute to Steve McMichael by his teammate, Kevin Butler. We would also recommend you read what Dan Pompey wrote in The Athletic. It was... One can only hope to be eulogized in the way that Dan eulogized and gave us the life of Steve Mongo McMichael.
Yeah, man. And I'm thrilled that we get a chance to talk to Dan now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Dan Pompey joins the Spiegel and Holmes show on The Score. And we were talking about it in transition, Dan. It feels like a lifetime's worth of reporting, or at least a career's worth of reporting, went into all the anecdotes, all the detail, the nuance, and the humanity that you got to put into this article today. So does it feel like a whole career's worth of reporting goes into something like this?
Well, yeah, you know, thanks, first of all, guys. I would say that we have to stop meeting like this, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I do feel it's just been a long journey. Like you say, maybe it has been a whole career because I've known Steve since 1985 and shared a lot with him, a lot of life. And then unfortunately I've shared some death with him and there's just so much to unpack. I mean, he was such a big personality, such a wonderful football player, colorful player. Nobody like him in my 40-some years covering the NFL. And he meant so much to that team, that organization, not just for the sacks he made, the tackles he made, anything he did on the field, but for the way he kind of helped give that team their identity and contributed so much to the mentality that, that was that great Bears defense, those great Bears teams. And, you know, he was special in many, many ways. And I think it went well beyond what he did as a football player.
I know that near the induction that we discussed him as a football player. I'm relieved as someone who is a fan of that team. That's part of the reason that I'm sitting here is watching that team as a 10-year-old. I'm relieved that people finally came around to how great of a player he was. And considering all of the Hall of Famers on that defense, it's easy to get lost. I'm glad that his career didn't get lost to the point where he wasn't able to see himself be enshrined in Canton.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we all feel great about that. And he earned it. You know, there's no question that he deserved it. And I think it started during his playing career where he kind of just didn't get the credit because, you know, there were these bigger names around him. You know, Richard Dent had more sacks. Dan Hampton was a high first-round pick and was there before Steve. You know, Mike Singletary had the big eyes, and, you know, he was the heartbeat of the defense. So, you know, Steve just kind of was the guy who did the dirty work, was always where he was supposed to be, and helped others shine. And, you know, that was kind of the beauty of his contribution, you know. And he made other people great, but he was great himself, you know, ended up with 95 career sacks and, you know, so many tackles, I think over 800 career tackles. Obviously, the streak of games played never came out because of an injury. Just did so much to contribute to wins and to great stands and plays. And, you know, he was truly special as a player in many ways. He's the kind of football player every coach in America wants on his team.
Yeah, well, Bear Bryant wanted him. You have an anecdote in here from John Madden talking about the way that he played every single game. He'll always be proud of his last game, whenever it is. And this stuff, all stayed in high school as a tight end, a linebacker, and a kicker. And then he's a and he could have gone as a tight end. He's instead wants to be on defense. He goes to New England and it blows up. Then they're talking about maybe making him a guard, making him an offensive player, and instead he becomes one of the best defensive tackles ever. It's really an incredible arc. But can you talk about the bond between him and Dan Hampton on the field, on the defensive line together, and off the field as well?
Yeah, it started, you know, what a really unlikely story that would never happen today. When the Bears had an injury at the position, they signed McMichael, and they had Hampton pick him up at the airport. Could you imagine that? So Hampton picks him up at O'Hare, and they end up, kind of hitting it off right away. They go out that night, and you know, they go drinking, of course. And Hampton said, that was the first time I saw him chug a pitcher of beer. And I said, I think we got something here. And, you know, they became fast friends off the field, and they became wonderful players on the field in terms of guys who worked together and brought out the best in one another. And it really was a wonderful partnership till the end. You know, Dan was a great friend to Steve during Steve's trying times with his health. And I know, you know, this is very hard on him to see what's, it's hard on all his teammates. You know, I've talked to some of them yesterday and today, and, you know, it's a funny thing with his death because, I mean, death is always hard and it's complicated and emotional. But obviously this is sad, very sad. We're all sad. And it's hard on all of us. But then there's another part of us that says, my gosh, he's not suffering anymore.
Yes.
And he went through so much. So it's a little different that way. But, you know, the confusing thing is this guy fought so hard. He clearly had motivation to live. And, you know, that part of it was really, it was great to see that, you know, he wanted to stay alive, I think, first and foremost, for his daughter, Macy. He wanted to see her in a good place. And then I think, you know, he obviously wanted to live to see himself inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which happened last year. And I think there's probably a part of him that wanted to live to show everybody that he could do it. Because as if he didn't show us how tough he was a million times during his playing career and his life.
Dan Pompey of The Athletic joining us here on The Score to talk and remember Steve McMichael. I love that you're able to weave in the piece, Dan. You're weaving between this incredible football player, and then there's post-football Mongo, where he is a media member. He is a four horseman rolling around with Ric Flair. He's a mayoral candidate, and I have a funny story about that, but this life that he lived, you talk about getting everything out of your life and going for every passion that interests you. I think there's a lesson to be learned there from Mongo in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, he was not cheated, you know, only 67 years, but what 67 years they were. And, you know, when I talked to him in 2022 after his diagnosis, one of the quotes, and I used it in the obituary today, was, you know, I've already lived 10 lives, so I'm okay. And there really was that element of him that he did all these things. And I mean, even the length of his football career was just, you know, it was crazy. Defensive tackles don't play that long. And, you know, they don't play as many plays as he played and just keep going. I mean, even when, you know, he was really out of gas at the end of his Bears career. And, you know, Dave Wannstedt tells him, you know, hey, you know, we love you. It's been great. It's time for you to move on. What does he do? He goes and signs with Green Bay for another year to play with them for $400,000 just because he wanted to keep playing. He thought he could stick it up the Bears' rear end. So, you know, I think he was a guy who had all these lives. The other thing is he felt deeply. And I think that can be lost on him. With him, because people think he was this callous, brutish guy, which he certainly portrayed himself as. But he was a guy with deep feelings, and that came out a number of times in my experiences with him. And certainly I saw him with his loved ones and family members, and he was a man, teammates. He was a man who really felt deeply.
Yeah, Dan, the stuff in here that hit me so hard, I mean, among others, but like, you know, when his one-time teammate, Jim Thornton, the tight end, is talking about how so many of the teammates felt, is that you didn't know if Mongo was going to slap you or hug you. You didn't know what he was going to do. He'd give you the death stare. He was the hardest guy to get to know. And there's stories in there about Neil Anderson at practice and not talking to players at practice. And McMichael heard Jim Thornton saying that, if I'm reading it correctly, while you're in the room too, and he's ill. And McMichael said, quote, "I was protecting my heart because I didn't want to get close to you and then see you get cut." And it was, I don't know why, man. It's like we stereotype these tough, badass football players for being, you know, jerks to teammates at times on the field. And for some of them, like McMichael, the feelings, as you say, are in there. And he's got his reasons why he was the way he was to his teammates.
Yeah, you know, I think to a man, though, they'll all tell you once they got to know him, he was one of the best teammates they ever had. I know... There are many, many who have just the utmost reverence for him. So many of them during his illness came to see him, many from out of town, some repeatedly. You know, they all held him in high esteem. And I'll say this too, not everyone on those great Bears teams was held in high esteem by their other teammates. He was one of the most well-liked guys on the team. I have no doubt saying that. And that goes even, you know, into the 90s when he was, you know, towards the end of his career. So you know, part of that was the way he played. Like I said, sacrificing himself, you know, taking on the double team, doing the dirty work, making sure other people had their right amount of shine. And then part of it was his personality and his willingness to just be good to people and do the right thing. And, you know, he was always a guy who was very active in the community, you know, raised a lot of money for charity. I mean, he was actually involved, you know, helping to raise money for ALS research. And, you know, I think it's really a good opportunity, too, to shine a light and raise awareness a little bit for ALS. It's funny because I've gotten involved with the Les Turner ALS Foundation through what happened with Steve. I also lost my sister-in-law, Denise Fitzgerald, to ALS many years ago. So it's kind of near and dear to my heart. But, you know, there are 30,000 people in the United States living with ALS. And the Les Turner Foundation has been a leader. You know, it raised more than $30 million since 1979 for care and research. So, I think it's an opportunity for people to remember that, too, and not just gloss over the fact that this is a disease that really affects people deeply, and we need to do all we can to try to make sure that it affects fewer people in the future.
Dan, as always, we appreciate your time, and we promise the next time that we ask you to come on the show, it will strictly be about current football, so that we can make it so that you don't feel like you have to carry that burden of always being the person that is sharing these stories. But we are so appreciative that you are there and that you are sharing those stories and doing it in a beautiful manner. Thank you for your time.
I don't mind at all, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dan. But yeah, we will stop meeting like this.
Yes. That is the Hall of Famer, Dan Pompey, talking about Steve Mongo McMichael. And we're going to talk with Jared Payton about a little bit of everything, the draft, and his really close relationship with Steve McMichael. So don't go anywhere. JP joins us to talk about Mongo next on The Score.